probably a couple years into staffing here, I felt like God was really stirring my heart for Unreach, and how can we, you know, stir ourselves or stir this campus more towards that? And Rob sat down with me, and he's just sharing some of his experience, but just really just imparting about mobilization, about how to train up a generation that's, and it just stirred my heart so much. And Rob is one of those guys that's crazy. We'll send outreach teams out, or you'll bump into someone at a conference in another country, and you mention, you know, oh yeah, I'm from Waterville, and you're like, oh, do you know Rob Francis? It's like everyone knows Rob, because he's always overseas, you know, these trips connecting with other wild locations, with other teams, training them in the Great Commission. So he has a ton of authority to speak to us. He's going to speak on the unreached and how we can be a part of reaching the unreached. So I'm going to pray for Rob, and then we're going to jump in. So God, just thank you so much for Rob. God, would you just speak through him as he's, you know, imparting this idea of the unreached, of where we're at in the Great Commission and how we can train up Gen Z to be a part of it. Give him the words to say, and yeah, just lead him in this time. In Jesus' name, amen. Can you guys give it up for Rob Francis?
Thank you so much. So how's that, John? Is that working? In just a minute, okay. Just to, by way of introduction, let me just say that I'll be sharing some things on a PowerPoint, and all at the end of the PowerPoint, I'll give my contact numbers, and you can have the PowerPoint or a PDF of it. Everything I'm sharing, that'll save you having to write everything down. And if there's any way we can serve you in what you're doing in your collaboration, we want to do that. And at the end of my session, you're going to get into groups, and you're going to talk about the gifts that God has placed in your youth group and how they could maybe be collaborate with other youth groups to engage people who've never heard the gospel of Jesus Christ before. And so for that exercise, I'd like to just ask, if you came with somebody from your church, if they could maybe, you not both of you sit at the same table, but split up and get on different tables, because we want to have variety at the tables so that we can talk about how we could maybe cooperate and collaborate to reach unreached peoples. So do you need me to plug back in again, John? Okay. All right. So, and let me just also say that I think this is the most exciting time in my lifetime for youth groups and youth leaders to be doing what you're doing right here, right now. Like never before, there are opportunities to connect with people across the globe who are doing exciting, groundbreaking things in Frontier Mission. And if we, when we get to the end of this presentation, I hope I'll have enough time to share with you two examples of what I'm talking about. So, and Jesus, oops, excuse me. Final words are really, really important. You know, when somebody's about ready to pass away, we listen carefully to the things that they have to share with us. Jesus's final words were, "Go therefore, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey all that I've commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even until the end of the age." It must be important if Jesus took such great care to share this with his disciples. And the question is how is Gen Z going to understand those final words of Jesus? Probably missions understanding is in the Church of Jesus Christ today in North America is at a real low. Most Christians can't even tell you what the Great Commission is. So as leaders, we have to do a better job explaining and teaching our young people how they can be engaged in God's Great Commission. So as I go into my sharing, I just want to say one thing before I go any further. I believe that Jesus Christ is unique as God's Son. I believe he is the only Messiah that was given for the salvation of man. I believe that the Bible is God's unique expression of His communication to us, of His promises and His plan. And I believe there is salvation in no other person. You know, I just want to say that up front. There's no other way that the nations are going to be saved apart from Jesus Christ. So I wanted to say that because that's where I'm coming from in what I'm sharing with you this afternoon. Okay, so what does it mean in Matthew 28 when Jesus says, disciple all nations? Well, first of all, he gave this command to go to those places, those peoples who have never heard. So there must be an initial breakthrough among peoples of the world who've never heard the gospel. Somebody has to go there and share the gospel with them. And many times we want to leapfrog that idea and skip it. We just want to see the nation be changed by the gospel. But first, there must be a church. And so, implied in Jesus's words in Matthew 28, there must be some initial breakthrough of the gospel being shared among that people. And then secondly, there must be transformation that happens as we disciple people. This is a very important part of the Great Commission. So we ask the question, well, what did Jesus mean in Matthew 28 when he said, disciple all nations? On the screen is just a picture of geopolitical nations. I always thought of it as a younger guy that Jesus was talking about countries. But that wasn't the meaning of Jesus' words in Matthew 28. He was not talking about countries. By the way, the world has had a church in every one of the countries of the world since 1945. So that already exists, but the Great Commission is still not finished, and I'll explain. So this is a picture up on the screen here of the country of Nigeria. If we're thinking of Nigeria as a geopolitical country, this is what we might think about, the white area on the screen. But when we look at Nigeria and who lives there, we might say, well, let's look at Nigeria from the standpoint of language. And then we come up with a map like this, which shows all the different languages in Nigeria and the peoples that speak them. But then we could go one step further beyond language, and we could look at maybe ethnicity and culture. We might come up with yet another map for Nigeria that might look something like this, showing all the different ethnic peoples that are in that country. So these are different perspectives on the word nations and what it means, and different ways of looking at the world. So let's look at the world a little bit right now from the standpoint of people groups. And a people group is an ethnic people that shares a common bloodline, shares a common culture, a common language, and they may usually live in a geographically common area. So in our world today, and all of these numbers that I'm sharing with you today are very current, there are currently 43% of our world, if we look at individuals, 43% of our world are beyond the access of the gospel. That means that they're not going to hear a gospel presentation from anyone. They're never going to have that opportunity to say yes to Jesus or say no to Jesus. And that would be, by the way, would be that broad red line down at the bottom of that graph I've got up there on the screen. That shows all of the unreached people, and I'm going to define unreached in just a minute. The other lines, the top line, which is the dark green line, are the significantly reached peoples of the world. 23% of the peoples, individuals in the world, are significantly reached. They've heard the gospel sometimes multiple times. And then the light green line, partially reached, you know, maybe they've heard once, but maybe it's not been a great explanation of the gospel. But this is the world that we live in today, if we're looking at it from the standpoint of individuals. 43% of the people on our planet do not have access to the gospel of Jesus Christ. What about if we look at the world from the perspective of language. I get these statistics from Wycliffe Bible translators. There are just under 7,400 living languages in the world today. Just under 4,500 of those have a work in progress, but there's still 1,700 peoples, languages in the world that have no translation whatsoever. So this is another way to look at the world and look at the word nations and try to understand what it means. And I'm sharing this with you because this is a little bit of a complex subject. And I think it's helpful for us if we can understand it a bit better. When we go to our youth groups and we want to share with them, I think we can be more effective in communicating to them what the state of our world really is. So let's get back to that question. What did Jesus mean when he said, make disciples of all nations? Jesus is building off of a concept that was shared by God to Abraham in Genesis chapter 12, when God promised Abraham that through Abraham, all the families of the earth would be blessed. And in the Hebrew, that word means people with a common bloodline. So, you know, we could think of people who come from an Indian background having a common bloodline, or Chinese having a common bloodline. Actually, I lived in Asia for many years. Within the large group of Chinese people, there are many, many subgroups, and they're called clans, and they all share a common bloodline. That's how they identify themselves. Jesus was building off of that idea in Matthew 28, verse 19, when he said, go make disciples of all nations. The word he used is the word we get ethnic from in the English language. He wasn't talking about countries, he was talking about ethnic peoples. So what do we mean when we say an unreached people group? An unreached people group is a large ethnic group or cultural group that has less than 2% of its population that identifies as an evangelical Christian. An evangelical Christian is somebody who believes that the gospel needs to be shared with those that haven't heard. Unreached people groups share this in common. They have minimal access to the gospel, and they face barriers. Some of those barriers are cultural, some of them are language, some of them are geography. Those barriers hinder them from hearing a gospel presentation. So how many of these unreached peoples are there in the world? Before I share that, let me just talk about this. When I use the word unreached, I don't mean the same thing as unsaved. Okay, I have a brother, and I've shared the gospel with my brother many times. He's not yet chosen to believe in Jesus. My brother is unsaved, but he's not unreached. He has heard the gospel. So everyone should have the right to hear the gospel at least one time in their life. I think we can all agree on that. And people who have heard the gospel but have not yet believed are what we call unsaved people. People who lack access are what we call unreached. In other words, unreached people are born, they live their lives, and they die and they go to their grave without ever one time hearing the gospel that you and I hear so frequently. So all unreached people are unsaved, but not all unsaved people are unreached. And that's a very important distinction to make. So we live here in Orlando, Florida, and when we fly into Orlando, my screen's not working. When I fly into Orlando, I see all of the lakes, the thousands of lakes in Central Florida. That's a good picture of people groups. You know, each one of those lakes is separated from the other lakes by some portion of land. If I thought of the gospel as a rock and I was throwing that rock into the lake, the ripples that would be formed by the rock would go all the way to the edge of the lake. We could think of that as the gospel passing through the lake or people group. I'm using the lake as an analogy of a people group. It would pass, the ripples would go all the way to the edge of the people group. But then the next lake over would not be affected by those ripples, because as the ripples hit the edge of the lake, they would stop. That's why in missions we believe there needs to be a separate rock, gospel rock, if you'll let me use that word, thrown into each and every lake or pond. Every people needs to have the opportunity to hear, and they each need an effort to be able to do that. So this is what our world looks like. Sorry, there we go. This is what our world looks like today. The green areas on the map, those are places where people have easy access to the gospel. It doesn't mean everybody's saved in the green areas, but it means that people can easily hear the gospel. And then the areas that are yellow are places where people have heard the gospel, but maybe the gospel's not been shared clearly, or there's been other kinds of confusion that maybe has hindered people from coming to a real understanding of the full message of the gospel. And then those areas up on the screen that are red, that's what we call the unreached portions of the world. That's the places where people are born, live, and die without hearing about Jesus. So on the screen right now, you can see a black box that surrounds that area from Morocco to Japan, and from the 10th parallel north of the equator to the 40th parallel north of the equator. That's what we call the 1040 window. And the reason we use that language of the 1040 window is because it helps us to easily identify the part of the world which has the most unreached peoples in it. Okay, so what about our world today? Well, there's 17,700 total people groups in our world that we live in, and just under 7,700 of those people groups are still unreached. And so there's a lot left to be done with the gospel. These are the countries of the world with the most unreached people groups. India is number one with 2,040. Then Pakistan, China, Bangladesh, and Nepal with 214. You'll notice they're all in that red area that we looked at just on the last slide. So everybody take your thumb and put it up like this. This is a helpful way to remember the major blocks of unreached peoples. T, you can put your thumb down. T stands for tribal. There are 866 unreached tribal peoples in the world today. H stands for Hindu, just over 2,200. C, well, you take the U of thumb and you put it on its side and it becomes a C, that's Chinese. There's still 444 unreached peoples in China. And Muslims are the largest block of unreached peoples. 3,580. And you can see those numbers, they all total up to 7,662. It's an easy way for us to remember the major blocks of unreached peoples if somebody asks you, who are they? They're tribals, Hindus, Muslims, Chinese, and Buddhists. Now here's something that's kind of interesting. Is each part of the world getting equal attention from the Church of Jesus? Well, tribals, there's 60,000 tribal people, unsaved tribal people, for every missionary. But it goes up for Hindus. There's just under 180,000 Hindus for every single missionary to the Hindu world. And in the Muslim world, that number gets even bigger. It goes up to just under 500,000. So if when I got started in missions 35 years ago, a missionary to the Muslim world was one in a million. There were a million Muslims for every missionary. How about North America? How many workers are there, do you think, in North America? Well, in the United States today, there's one Christian worker for every 115 lost people in our country. So look at the gap between our own country and these parts of the world where there are very few workers. In other words, the church is taking up most of the attention of workers, and very, very few workers are actually being sent to unreached places. Here's a graphic representation that kind of show you a little bit of how this breaks down. The big circle on the screen, that brown circle, that's all the people groups in the world. And that light blue circle inside the big circle, that's the unreached people, 7,662. And then you'll notice that inside that light blue circle, there's a dark blue circle. That's called the frontier people groups. Frontier people groups are people groups that no one is even trying to reach. No one is sending any church planting teams or missionaries or evangelists. There probably isn't a Bible translation. There are no existing Christians, no churches. Do you know that today, of all of the world's people groups, just over 5,000 of them are frontier people groups? So most Christians in our churches today are unaware of these statistics. How could you and I work to help people in our church understand this better? Okay, so that's the status of the world. Now, there are there's some good news and there's some bad news relevant to the way things are working out with unreached peoples. Mongolia is one of the good news stories. There's many good news stories, but I just picked a few. Mongolia in 1989 had zero churches, zero Christians, zero Christian workers, zero agencies engaging Mongolia. God worked in a miraculous way through two young men that went to Mongolia in 1989, and today there's a church of 60,000 Christians in Mongolia, and one of the top mission-sending nations per capita in the world is Mongolia, sending missionaries into the world. And a true miracle story. And you won't hear this in most magazines or, you know, on a video, but this is the truth about what God is doing in different parts of the world. Another one is Iran. Most Christians are probably unaware that the fastest growing church in our world today is in Iran. Iran. And can I tell you a story of something that happened in our mission organization just 4 months ago? We had a worker who was going to train people in Farsi in Iran. And they had 100 people that they had set up to train in Farsi. And they had the speaker who was going to train them in Farsi. And when he arrived there, there were 1,000 workers ready to be trained. Problem was, they didn't speak Farsi. Some of those 900 additional people spoke Turkish and Arabic. Well, the teacher taught in Farsi, and all the people heard without translation in their own language. God's doing amazing things in our world today. And these are just a few stories. There's many, many more we could tell. Here's one that I want to draw to your attention, though, that's very important. And this is the growth of people movements among unreached peoples in the last 35 years. So this has been documented in a book called A Wind in the House of Islam by David Garrison. So I just want you to know I'm not just pulling these statistics out of the air. Also, you can look at a mission magazine called Mission Frontiers on the internet, missionfrontiers.org, to see some of these statistics. There were no known movements among unreached peoples before 1980. A movement being 1,000 people from that unreached people group coming to Christ in a 20-year period. But then they noticed the first one in 1994. In 2011, they identified 70 additional people groups, from mostly from the Islamic religion, movements that were happening. And in Mission Frontiers, they document this as today at 1,965 movements between Japan and Morocco, Mongolia and Indonesia. God, the Holy Spirit's moving in a great, great way in our world. That's the good news. But here's the challenging news. The challenging news is, in the church, we haven't been doing a great job with our sending our workers. For every 30 missionaries that go to reached people, that's Christian people, only one missionary goes to the unreached. So, Gen Z, you can change that. You can turn that around and make that a more equitable figure. Maybe half of the world's workers going to Christian people and half to the unreached. The other challenge is in giving. My generation, we haven't done a great job with this. For every dollar given to Christian causes, less than one penny goes to finance pioneer church planting among unreached peoples. Out of every dollar, ouch, that hurts. But Gen Z, you can make a difference here. You can change this. I believe God's given you the creativity to do that. Two stories I want to tell you very quickly. One is about an experience I've been having in Nepal. This is a picture of a movement of about 78 churches in Western Nepal, where we have come together in a partnership, YWAM and these church plants, and we're helping them and serving them so their churches can multiply and complete the job in Western Nepal. And it's been a very exciting opportunity because we, YWAM, have brought one set of resources to help. There are other people from the local church have offered money to help make the training happen. And the Nepalese have come forward with the workers to actually engage with the unreached people groups of Western Nepal. And it's been a very exciting thing to see what the Holy Spirit is doing. I remember in the early 1990s praying for Nepal and praying for the unreached people groups by name. Now I go to this place and I actually meet the people who've come to Christ from those unreached people groups. Holy Spirit's moving in a powerful way, and there's great opportunities for partnerships like never before. Last story I want to tell you about is of a brother from our YWAM base who's done a fantastic job collaborating with Christians all over the world to help reach his unreached people group. He's working in Southeast Asia among a Hindu people group that's been famous for being difficult to reach. And what he does is he has teams come over from the United States to connect with college students and help them with the learning English. And while they're doing English language at a table, like the tables you're sitting at, they're doing conversational English, they get into conversations about spiritual topics, and they ask certain questions that they've been trained to ask. These Americans that are coming over to do this for 2 or 3 weeks pass on the information that they've learned to the local missionary that's serving in that area. And the local missionary follows up with them, helps them, those that are interested, to come to Christ, helps them to be baptized, helps them to be discipled. It's a great example of how a partnership can happen. And you know, when I got involved in missions a long time ago, these kinds of opportunities weren't available. You know, no one thought of doing that kind of thing. But today, it's very, very possible. So, This is my contact numbers up on the screen. If you'd like a copy of this PowerPoint or the PowerPoint itself, I'm very willing to send it to you. And now I'd like you to gather around your tables. This exercise we're about to do will work best if you do not have more than six people in your group. If your group's a lot bigger than that, you're not going to have time to share adequately. So if you're sitting at a table with a lot more people and you would be willing to form another group, it'll be better for you. Would you do that? Okay, great. So for those of you that are at tables with more than six people, if a person who's maybe number seven could raise their hand and then you could gather off on some other area and collaborate, that'd be great. Noah's passing around a sheet with questions on it. This is not an assignment to complete. Please don't think of it that way. But think of it as some questions to launch you into discovering ways that you could collaborate with your youth groups to reach unreached peoples. Okay, you're not being asked to create a plan or a strategy. You're being asked to brainstorm at your table. What are the assets that you have in your youth group and in your contacts that could possibly be leveraged towards a joint project among unengaged or unreached peoples?